Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Word, y'all pray for me. It's going to be hard for me to stand in one spot. I'm supposed to be sitting on this stool, but I know that that's not going to be very good either. The good news is that I probably won't preach long today. So for those of you that have got brunch plans, lunch plans, we're going to have you out of here on time. But I'm so excited. If you were here last Sunday at 11 a.m., just make some noise. Last Sunday at 11, towards the end of the altar response, we had numerous people come right here in the front of this platform and receive Jesus Christ and accept him into their life, true salvation and repentance. Saw them radically. When I say radically filled with the Holy Ghost, I was talking to one sister over here that got filled with the Holy Ghost, and she said, I am still shaking. She said, I've never experienced anything like that before. It's the book of Acts. Amen. And no matter what we preach, you're going to hear Jesus. You're going to hear Holy Ghost. And so we've already got people that want to be baptized today. We're going to baptize them in water before the end of service. We're going to make sure that everybody's got an opportunity to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Great crowd this morning. Everybody's coming back to church, and I know there's a lot of adversity out there, but I want to encourage you. There's three things that I don't get from social media: theology, political view, and medical information. I get my theology from God. I get my political view from the Bible. I get my medical information from my doctor. And I encourage you to do that too and make the decisions that they tell you to make and that you're comfortable with. Amen? So I say that to say this. Don't get all hype on social media about the world. The world's acting like the world does. But we as the church, let's shine bright. Let's be voices of faith. Let's be anchors of hope in Jesus' name. Turning our Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. I love the story, this account of Jonah. But while you're turning to Jonah 1, let me tell you a story about Jonah and the whale. One day an elementary school teacher wanted to test her class about their knowledge of whales. The first girl that raised her hand to give an answer told the story of Jonah, who was swallowed by a whale according to the Bible. The teacher kindly told the student that it probably wasn't like the story says, since as big as whales can be, their throats would not fit a man through it to be able to swallow him. The little girl was not convinced at all about the teacher's explanation and maintained that a whale had in fact swallowed Jonah. Starting to lose her patience, the teacher insisted about the anatomical detail of the whale's throat. The little girl considered the conversation finished, since she wouldn't trust her teacher in this matter, and the teacher wasn't going to give up. So the stubborn student said that she was going to ask Jonah herself when she got to heaven. Out of frustration, the teacher asked the girl, but what if Jonah went to hell? To which the girl calmly and coolly replied, then you can ask him. Out of the mouth of children. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Somebody say the word came to Jonah. The son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, verse 17, to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Let me say that again. To obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken or to hear the word more than the fat of rams or religious tradition. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, run like Jonah. You may be seated. Last session, we picked four words we studied four words that I believe are tied directly to the series on running like Jonah. And you can see on the screen behind me that there are three things: running from, running to, and revival for. One of those words that we discussed last week was running. Which direction are you running? And we just declared, and I want it to become a mantra for your life. Don't run from it, run to it. Don't run from God, Adam and Eve. Run to him. Man, the story in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 would be vastly different if the moment that Adam and Eve ate of the tree, if they would have run to God instead of hiding and running away from Him. Can I encourage you that, church, sometimes we are going to make mistakes. Sometimes we are going to fail. Sometimes, yes, we are still going to sin. But I'm here to tell you that God has given us, He's given us an advocate named Jesus Christ. That we have the blood of Jesus. We have grace that is sufficient. We have mercy that is fresh every morning. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you've done, and I don't know if what you did was 6 months ago or 6 hours ago, but I want to tell you, don't run from God. Run to God. Don't run from the answer. Run to the answer. So much of our time, we as church, we do our best to bring people to church, but then we offer condemnation instead of conviction. And so, which direction are you running? David chose to run to Goliath and not from Goliath. Second word that we dove into was respond. How do we respond to the Word of God? We know that Noah, in his initial hearing of the Word of God, he ran from it. Realize that when you hear the Word of God, that you are responsible for the Word of God. I've got good news for every person in this room and online today, that the Word of God preached to you and the Word of God heard and hidden in our hearts and acted upon. When we hear that word, we have the potential for every answer, every question in our life to be answered. But I've also got a sobering reality that what you hear today, you will be responsible for the rest of your lives. Whether you choose to run to God or away from Him, whether you choose to build your life on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, whether you choose to raise your kids in church or out of church, whether you choose to build your marriage on the foundation of God's Word or out in the world and go by there, it doesn't matter. We are all responsible now for what we do with what we've heard. We are responsible now for the people around us, not just our family, not just those at work, on our jobs and on the floor of our office building, but we are now responsible for those that we interact with in the community, that we now have found the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. And we don't want to keep that answer secret. We don't want to whisper about it. We don't want to shout about it on Sundays and whisper about it Monday through Saturday. And then revival is the fourth word. Revival, the world is waiting on us to unleash revival. I've seen a lot of my peers, and I know that it looks good on a graphic, but they talk about one night revival at so-and-so and revival weekend at so-and-so. Can I tell you that that flies in the face of what revival really is? Because revival is not a time limit. Revival is not a day of the week. Revival is not four or five services connected to one another. Revival is an awakening of people's hearts and turning those hearts back towards Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, and Bishop talked about it in the first service, 5 years ago, he prophesied on Facebook that there was a time coming, that there was a great calamity, and there was something great coming to the world. But out of that was going to come the greatest revival. Here we are 5 years later, and the pandemic is all around us. And I don't know if it's better or not, but I do know this, that there is a great revival happening, that people are awakening. And the revival's not just one day, because I've got people sitting all over this room that came to Jesus 2 or 3 years ago and they haven't missed a service since, that came and received their healing and they're still in the altar every Sunday, every Wednesday, giving God praise, no longer on the periphery and the perimeter of the church, but they're now part of the dream team and the serve team, saying, God, you brought me this far. That's what true revival is. We started in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word came unto Jonah. You know what I love about the word is that it will come to you when you won't go to it. Sometimes we can't, sometimes we refuse. And so God says, I'll cover all the ground. Isn't it amazing that when you look to the Gospels, that Jesus came to us, that there was no way for us to get to heaven. And so God said, you don't even have to meet me halfway. I'm going to clothe myself in flesh. I'm going to put on humanity, and I'm going to come to you. So Jesus came to us. The Word became flesh and came to us. Can I encourage you today? I don't know how far off track you are. I don't know how far you've been running. I don't know how long you've been away. But I do know this, that how far you are today, God can meet you today before you leave. You might be watching. You might be on the couch. You might be hung over. You might be strung out. And you might be saying, I'm a long way from God. Can I tell you, you might be a long way from Him, but He is closer to you right now than He has ever been. The Word is coming to you, and how you respond to His Word determines how much your life will be transformed. Great news. There will never be a day when you and I do not have access to the Word of God. I've mentioned it many times before that my heart broke. It was exciting, but my heart also broke when I saw a video a few years ago of an unmarked box show up in a dimly lit room in China. And when they opened it up, it was Bibles that they had smuggled into communist China, where the Word of God is illegal. And there was believers in that dimly lit room that tore open that box. And when they got the Bible, they opened the Bible and they kissed the Bible and they held it up to their cheek. Why? Because the Word of God was precious to them. And the only word that they had until the Bible showed up was that which they had memorized when somebody had told them what God said. Can I encourage you that U.S., we have our problems, but we're still the greatest nation. Why? Because you can carry your Bible. You can proclaim the Bible. You can put it on social media. You can put it on your desk at work. You can, and listen, even if we get to the place where they want to take it away, like David in Psalm 119, I have hidden the Word of God in my heart that I will not sin against God. What we do with the Word is what is life-changing. Is it collecting dust on your mantle? Is there a family Bible? How many of you are just your Bible collectors like shoes? I got like 18 Bibles. I got the Touchpoint Bible. I got Rod Parsley's Breakthrough Bible. I got the NIV, the ESV, the Passion Translation. I got the Message Bible. I've got a Parallel Bible, four translations next to one another. I've got apps where I've got like 50 translations. I've got one on my desk at home. I've got one on my desk here at the office. I've got it everywhere I go. Why? Because the Word of God is that important. It is shaping my life, changing my life, transforming my life. And you say you're the preacher. No, I'm a saint of God. I'm a believer. If I believe I'm going to be healed, I'm standing on the Word of God. If I'm going to believe you're coming out, I'm standing on the Word of God. You don't want a preacher who doesn't love the Word of God, but I don't want to be around believers who just carry the book but don't know the book. Jonah, the Word of God came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Amittai means in Hebrew, my truth. Two words, my truth. This was written some 4,000 years ago. And here we see that a phrase that has become common in 2021 to the woke Christians and to woke culture, that, well, that's just my truth. I'm sorry, your truth is little t. It's what you've experienced and it's ever evolving. But Jesus said, I am the truth. That's big T. Jesus is the truth. Every other truth bows to Him as truth. If my truth doesn't add up to His truth, then my truth is filthy rags and I discard it. And so 20 years ago, I laid aside my truth and I said, God, your truth is going to govern my life. The problem with Jonah and the reason he ran is because what he was raised in was different from what he was being called to. And a lot of times what we're raised in, we become comfortable in. And what we become comfortable in is diametrically opposed to what God is doing and where God is taking. If you're ever going to do anything great for God, His truth must override our truth. Now let's go to verse 2, jumping into some new material. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The number one thing God says for him to do is three things here, but the number one thing he says to do is he says, arise. That arise means to get up. That arise means to get ready. That arise means to prepare. Can I tell you that as a church, as a local church called Living Way, we are doing everything we can Monday through Saturday to get ready, to prepare, so that when we come in here on Sundays, that the broken, that the lost, that the confused, that we're not ill-prepared, but we are ready. And so when we arise, what we're saying is we are about to mobilize, organize, to mobilize. When you get up, what you're saying is, God, I am ready to go wherever you've called me to go and do whatever you've called me to do. That's what I like about Living Way. Because when the preaching gets good and the word starts flowing and the spirit starts moving, some people can't keep their seat. And it's not because of an ego of a preacher or the ego of a believer, but some people can't keep their seats because they're saying, God, I've received the word and now I want to mobilize the word. I don't want to just hear it preached. I don't want to just amen it. I want to see it manifested in my life. Luke chapter 5, I love this, verse 27. I preached this many times at Living Way, but it's been a few years and there's a lot of new folks. This is the calling of Levi. Levi would be known to us as Matthew in the Gospels. Matthew or Levi is a tax collector. And so he is the people that are looked down on. He was, I'm sure, wealthy. He was, I'm sure, in certain circles, popular. But for the most part, people did not like to see Levi come because Levi was about to take a percentage of their money. And unless you were born on April 15th or married on April 15th, it's one of the least popular days in all of our calendar. Because you're about to give 18, 20, 22, 24, 26. Some is high. Now they say it's going to be 40% taxes. That doesn't sound good. And so nobody ever goes up to Levi. I'm sure Levi is having to track everybody down. But here comes Jesus. Jesus comes to Levi and says two words. Follow me. You know where the Western church has missed it? We promised big cars, nice houses, full bank accounts. I am for all of those things for you as a believer and an ambassador of Jesus Christ. But we do not follow Christ for things. We follow Christ because he's king, not for things. That is why Jesus does not tell him his benefit package. That is why he doesn't say, hey, Levi, follow me and I'll do this for you. Follow me and you get a 401k. Follow me and I'll make sure you're healed. Follow me and I'll make sure you're wealthy. He says, no, Levi, follow me. That's all he says. Then Levi has the choice that you and I have. Do I follow him or not? Remember, Levi, the Bible says, is sitting at the receipt of customs. He's just chilling there, waiting on people that he knows owes him money to walk by. This is what Jesus says. Jesus, I don't even know if he stops. Jesus strolls by and says two words, follow me. Can I tell you this? Sometimes your feet speak louder than your mouth. Because there's a whole lot of people saying, I will follow you, Jesus. But then when the rubber meets the road and they've got to arise, come on, Jonah. They've got to get up, come on, Jonah. They've got to follow, come on, Jonah. It's a completely different story. Verse 28 of Matthew 5 tells us, or Luke 5 tells us about Levi. And he left all, rose up, and followed Jesus. Can I encourage you? Two words changed his life. Follow me. Not the promise of God, but the presence of Jesus. Can I tell you that I've lived long enough with God to tell you that his presence is promise enough? But I'm going to tell you that God is so great and so good that he said, in my presence there is fullness. You'll get everything you need spiritually. You'll get everything you need tangibly. You'll get everything you need physically, relationally, emotionally, whatever you need. It's found in follow me. In his presence, there is promise. But follow him for his presence. You know what I love about my wife? We don't have to be doing anything for me to enjoy her presence. You say, I don't enjoy the person I'm dating. We have to be doing something fun. You need a BFF, not a boyfriend. You need a friend. You need a best friend, not a girlfriend. Because their presence should be enough. Just sitting with them, talking, exchanging vision, talking about future, talking about purpose, talking about the things of God. That should be enough. Can I tell you that in the last 72 hours, I've just sat there while Mandy put on my brace. Your boy can't drive, so I've been riding shotgun. Tyler's been my chauffeur. Mandy's been my chauffeur. Happy birthday to Jaden, who's getting her permit this week. She's about to be my chauffeur. What I've learned is presence is better than promise. But when I'm in his presence, it's full of promise. We're a Jesus church. I'm going to promise you the world once you follow him. But Jesus did not say, follow me and I will. He just said, follow me. And Levi, I love what Levi did, the order he did. He left all. He rose up and followed him. Here is the crux, church, today. You should not even arise if you have left all. He left before he stood up. He counted the cost. It's going to cost me my job. It's going to cost me relationships. But there's something about this Jesus. He left all. In his head, he left all before he got up. The reason most people backslide is they get up and start following before they've left all. They come down and make a great, great, great declaration in this altar, and they forget about their friends that they're going to have to kick to the curb. You say, why do they need to kick them to the curb? Because they're crack addicts. They're gangbangers. Come on now. They're addicted to pornography and sex. They're on their eighth marriage. They quit getting married because their marriages don't work, so now they're just sleeping around. If that's your set of friends, you need new friends, Jonah. Why? Because God's called you to do something great, and you're going to have to leave some stuff behind. But I promise you this, Jonah. I promise you this, Levi. Whatever you sacrifice in the name of Jesus, God is going to restore. God is going to give it back to you, and it's going to come back to you better than it left you. So if you need something from God, lay it on the altar today, and God's going to replace it with something 50 times better. In the Bible, you get at least double for your trouble. But Proverbs says, when the thief is found out, I'll give you seven times for your trouble. And so whatever you sacrifice, leave it all behind. Because what's in front of you is worth it all. He said, arise. Number two, he said, go. Mark 16, 15, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know what I love about Living Way, and I love the dispensation of time that we're living in today, is that red light on that camera right now means that people all over the world can watch this, that I can fulfill the Great Commission, that we can fulfill the Great Commission on a Sunday morning without ever leaving the room, that we can go all around the world today. But can I encourage you, before God calls us to go all around the world, can we go all around the block? Can we go all around the floor at our job? Can we go all around HEB? Can we go all around our neighborhood and let them know that there's a Jesus? Are you saying knock every door? I'm not saying you got to knock every door, but instead of giving sideways glances to your neighbor when he takes the trash out, how about you smile? How about you talk about, hey, have a blessed day. Hey, man, look at this day God has made. You can do it without having to be pushy about it, but there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have to stand up for God and start talking about what he has done. He said, go and preach. Preach. The King James Version says, cry against it. NIV Version says, preach against it. There is going to come a time when you are going to have to preach truth. In love, but truth. There are certain things that I'm sorry that I cannot change my mind on. It's founded in the Word of God. I'm sorry, abortion will always be murder. And can I just say this? I know that COVID is real. I know that we've lost many people because of COVID, somewhere around 700,000. But can I just remind you that over 10 million babies have been aborted in our country this year, and nobody bats an eye, and everybody's talking about this, and everybody's talking about that, and that is purely, we can stop abortion if we preach against it. You say, how do I preach against it? Live it. Every life is valuable. every life. I don't want to be responsible for killing the next T.D. Jakes. I don't want to be responsible for killing the next Joyce Meyer. I don't want to be responsible for killing the next worshiper, the next youth pastor, the next leader. I'm sorry, there's some things that I'm going to have to preach against. Now, I will preach them in love. If you've had an abortion and you've asked God for forgiveness, it's under the blood. And good news, you're going to meet that baby face to face when you get to heaven. But I'm here to tell you, we don't condemn you, but we don't condone the sin. We want the Spirit to convict you and say, hey, there's another way to live. And because there's preaching, there will be conversion and transformation. Screenshot this if you need it. They're going to put it on the wall. Preach. The world is your platform. Your job is your pulpit. Your testimony is your sermon. Everyone you meet is your audience. Say it again. The world is your platform. Your job is your pulpit. Your testimony is your sermon. Everyone you meet is your audience. Can I tell you that the greatest sermon that I preach should not be on a Sunday morning or at a conference. The greatest sermon I preach should be at the pump of a 7-Eleven. The greatest sermon I preach should be at aisle 6 of HEB. The greatest sermon I preach should be walking the streets of San Antonio. And if I've got to use words, I'll use them. But my life and your life should be a sermon for all to see. How many of you have been saved after high school? Just raise your hand. How many of you have friends on social media that actually have sent you messages saying, you changed? That means you're preaching sermons. That means they're seeing something. Come on, Jonah. The world, there's a Nineveh that needs to hear about God. There's a Nineveh that needs to hear your story. There's a Nineveh that needs to hear what God has done in your life. Remember, they saw the before picture, and now they see the after picture. And when they say, you've changed, you ought to be able to step in and say, if it hadn't been for the Lord doing what he's done in my life, I would still have the same addiction. I would still be running the same streets. I would still be running with the same people. But can I tell you what God has done the last 6 years, the last 16 years. I quit running from it and I ran to it. Preach against. Said, I want you to go to the great city Nineveh. There's a lot of great truth here, and I'm almost done. Nineveh in Hebrew, well, before we get to that, Nineveh in this time, Bible history has it, and if you check one against the other, somewhere in the top three cities population. So he didn't just call Jonah to Kirby or to Shirts or to Cibolo or Marion or Kingsbury or Poth. He called him to L.A., called him to New York. He called one man to millions. He called one man to millions, and Jonah didn't ended up doing what he did. What could this church do in 1 week? There's a revival that is waiting on the church, waiting on us to just speak up. And you say, I don't know what to say. All you've got to say is how Jesus has made the difference in your life. When you read just the meaning of Nineveh, you start seeing the wheels of God turning. Nineveh in the Hebrew means the place of the fish or the house of fish. History teaches us that Nineveh was named after a patron goddess that her statue was that of a mermaid. They worshipped a fish. I don't want to get into next week, but isn't it amazing how God used a fish to swallow Jonah and spit him? Don't you know the people that were playing at the beach that had just gotten through worshiping in the town square, the goddess and the mermaid called Nineveh in the middle, and it went down to the beach, and here comes a fish and spews out and throws up Jonah on land. Don't you know those people are like, all right, all right. The fish has sent a messenger. But the messenger is not talking about Greek gods. The messenger is pointing to Jehovah God. Can I encourage you and tell you today, it matters the God you preach. It matters the God that you talk about. Can I tell you, Christians, we should not be looking to the horoscope. Christians, we should not be burning sage. Christian, we should not be looking to fortunes and 900 numbers and Miss Cleo. Christian, we should be talking about the one true living God. Jonah knew him as Jehovah, but we know him as Jesus, and it is our job to preach him crucified. And if it takes me coming to them how they know him, I will come to them however I need to. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Paul said this. He said, I become all things to all men. Brian, I preached about it a couple services ago, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring up Aquaman again. Olivia, pay attention now. Before Jason Momoa, there was Jonah. He was the original Aquaman. That dude spent 3 nights in the belly of a whale. He gets spewed out onto dry land. Kids are making sandcastles 3 feet away. Young ladies are tanning 10 yards away. And when he shows up, he doesn't preach Greek God. Doesn't preach mythology. He starts preaching Jehovah. And we fast forward way in this story. We'll rewind it a little bit next week. But he preaches from a place that they're familiar with. I was sharing this with somebody the other day. That whatever God delivers you from, you have a ministry in. It was my sister right back here. She waved her hand, and I was just reminded right over here. Her testimony is that God saved her from a life of drug use and being addicted to crack. She said, Pastor, that's my ministry. She said, other churches won't let me have that ministry. I said, man, that's they don't understand it. I don't know. I can preach Jesus, and I can preach about deliverance, but nobody can preach about deliverance over addiction to somebody that has walked that deliverance out. Not just got delivered, stayed delivered. Walk deliverance out. They've always worshipped a fish, so God said, let's use fish. Come on now. That's why we have barbecue on men's night. Because some of you worship that barbecue pit. I mean, you spend a lot of time behind it, so we'll have barbecue on Friday nights to get the men out. That's how we preach to you. Because it's something you know, it's something that you connect with. I want to encourage you, if God has delivered you from drug use, you've got a ministry. Why? Because that's a God they worship. That's a God they know. Let me tell all the tattooed people in the house today, I love it. I love all the nose rings I'm seeing. Why? Because everybody can't look like me. Everybody can't look like Bishop. Everybody can't look like the Greens. Everybody can't look like Dolly. We got to reach everybody in this world. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, they said, why do you dress down and why does Bishop dress in a suit? And I told them, because the people that we're preaching to, a lot of times they're already saved. They're going to heaven. I'm coming after your children and your grandchildren. And the way that we're going to do that is by me looking like this and you looking like you. You can come in a tuxedo. I don't care, but I want to have somebody in a tuxedo, somebody in a suit, somebody in a sports jacket, and then there's going to be somebody in flip-flops and shorts. I need everybody to show up. Because you're going to reach somebody that we cannot. Preach it. Preach it. Stand on your feet. Preach it. Preach it. I don't know what God brought you out of, but I know it's your ministry. You say, man, God didn't bring me out of thing. I was just raised in church. God brought you out of religion. Praise God. And you say, are there any religious people still left in the world? Are you on Facebook every day? I am. It's amazing how many people have theological degrees, it seems. It's amazing to me how many people have sociology degrees in sociology. It's amazing to me how many of y'all became doctors 20 months ago. I'm shocked. Whatever he delivers you from, You have a ministry in. Don't run from it. Run to it. Let me just give you just a pastoral nugget right here. If God has given you an idea for a ministry at Living Way, don't come tell me about it and expect me to do it. If God delivered you from it and God spoke to you to do it, you're not going to put that monkey on my back. If I believe it's a God-inspired idea, you're going to be a big part of that ministry and we're going to reach out. Listen, I've got prison ministry in my mind. I've got ministry beyond what we're doing in my mind. I want to be Jonah. I want to go to the city. If they don't come to the church, I'll go to the city. I'm not running from it. I'm running to it. There's a revival for. And I need everybody in this room to join and link with us. Why? Because your testimony is different than mine, and mine's different than yours. I need white people, black people, brown people, yellow people, red people. I need people who've been delivered from homosexuality. I need people who've been delivered from sleeping around and heterosexuality unchecked. I need people that used to be confused about their sexuality that God has delivered and given you the mind of Christ. I need people that used to have a crack addiction. I need people that used to smoke. I need people that used to drink a fifth of whiskey and vodka. I need you. I need former Catholics. I need former Baptists. I need people who shed the denominational name to pick up the name of Jesus. I don't know how to reach Catholics other than to preach Jesus, but you might. We need you. Not running from it, running to it. Talking to some Jonas in the room today. If what I've been preaching about has resounded in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to join me in this altar today. I believe that God is going to give you the strength to make a step. One step in the right direction, Jonah. One step in the right direction is purpose. Not just purpose.